Like to share some scriptures with you tonight, actually to do with law and grace and how the Lord just wants us to have that comparison. And he uses examples in the Bible, and one of them is in chapter 7 of Romans. And we're going to go ahead and look at the first six verses of Romans 7 and see this example that the Lord uses to kind of differentiate between the law and grace. And it is a great example because it touches close at home. He uses the example of marriage. And so let's read here in chapter 7, verse 1 of Romans. It says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has no dominion over man as long as he lives, that has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ." So the Lord's using this example of a woman married to a man, and of course by the law she's married to him, but if he dies, she's free to marry again, or free to have another husband. We don't want to be doing the polygamy thing that some do and call it right, but we know that this example is used here then to say, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So comparing actually a death here that happens. And as we had earlier in the book of Romans, and we look at verse 6 of the previous chapter, our old man is crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So as we identify with Christ, we identify with his death. Yes, we were actually crucified with him. And how does that happen? Because he took all sin upon himself on that cross, past, present, and future, of all of our sins. And these things died with him. And so we are crucified with him. That is something we enter into in believing in Jesus. So that sin is dead with Christ on the cross. And this is the most beautiful thing, because what happens then, it talks about here in verse 4, let's read it again. My brethren, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. And who is that? Well, that's the Lord Jesus himself, because we're the bride of Christ. And one day, we are going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19, which is a wedding reception in heaven, and actually be married to him. He is the one that came and delivered us from the bondage of the law and freed us from sin, because he died for that sin and we died with him. And so this idea of death, which is not very inviting, is wonderfully used by the Apostle Paul to bring us to the fact and the beauty of the fact that you are dead to sin and you should live no longer therein and be freed from it. But we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And so we've been freed And actually our conscience has been cleansed from dead works, as it's put in Hebrews, to serve the living God. And that is the most awesome freedom, because we don't need to sit around anymore worried about past sins, because they've been washed clean as we have trusted Christ for that cleanliness. And we have come and said, Lord, I am dead to sin because I was crucified with you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still alive, but the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And all the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we are free to just go forward. And that's why we can pray for Dennis and Wendy and pray for ourselves to just go forward, because Jesus Christ on the cross took care of the rest of it. And I am dead to that. I am dead to it, and it doesn't live any longer in any kind of power over me. No, sin shall have no power over me, because I'm not under the law, but under grace. The grace of Jesus Christ, God's riches at Christ's expense. And so Izzy can go to Jordan and enjoy himself with a clear conscience to serve the living God. To serve the living God. This is the most awesome thing. We are married to another. We're no longer married to that body of death and all that sin, but now we're married to Jesus Christ, and we are being prepared as a bride for him in heaven. You know, I'd like to tell you a personal story here about our granddaughter. Ginger went to Bible college at Marietta, and she called me one day, I called her, and I was on the phone with her, and she said, Poppy, I've had the most marvelous day. She says, I've been crying with joy all day because I was told in class this morning that I'm married to Jesus. And I thought, wow, that is so precious. And I was so kind of proud of her, because she was just so in love with the Lord that thought just made her just be lifted to the heavenlies, and just in the realization of that connection with Jesus Christ. It is a deeply spiritual thing, and as we know, these things are all spiritual things. And what a blessing to know that you are the bride of Christ. That's who you are. And Jesus will take you one day to be with him in the New Jerusalem, and on the heavenly honeymoon, which takes place from Revelation chapter 4 all the way to Revelation 19, and then at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is the wedding of the Lamb to his bride. The wife of the Lamb is the saints, and we're told very clearly that in the book of Revelation chapter 19 verse 8, and that is then just a culmination of what God's doing in your life right now. And so this whole idea of being anyway alive to sin is just a fallacy in the mind of the devil, and tries to stick that on you all the time. But you are a new creature. You are brand new in Jesus, and you are a garmented bride with the righteousness of him. As you confess your sin and just allow him to give you his righteousness, that's what's going on. Now, I wanted to kind of enlarge upon this just a little bit from 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 55. I love this verse. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. That's what gives death its sting, is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Now, Jesus came and fulfilled the law. And Jesus died for every sin that transgressed the law by you and I, and takes away the power of that, thus taking the sting out of death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory. The victory. We need to do everything from victory. Our victory? His victory. We do everything in Jesus' name from victory, and the victory has been won by Jesus Christ. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. If we're in Him, we're in the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable. You can be free with a clear conscience because of what Christ did for you to go forward. And that's what we saw back in Romans also. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord sees every single thing you do for Him and in Him. He sees your heart, and He knows that you're going forward, and He's going to go before you. And behind you, the Bible says, He's our reward, with His hand upon us and His eye upon us. All of that is Scripture. That is where we go in the victory of Christ. I remember one time, just another personal testimony, when Sherry and I were first really coming strong to the Lord, there was a Catholic church at the end of our street, and I was driving past the Catholic church, and they were bringing a coffin out the front door of the church. And I got so filled as the Lord just came upon me by His Holy Spirit, and I just cried out at the top of my voice, "Oh, death! Where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" That coffin stimulated that in my spirit, because it's just the truth. It's the truth. And we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. There is no sting anymore in death for us. Death is going to see Jesus Christ face to face. And with total acceptance, we are accepted in the Beloved. We are His bride. And how does a groom meet his bride? With loving, accepting eyes, because of what He did and He finished on the cross. And so we can serve Him with that clear, clean, washed conscience every day because of what He did. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? So I'd like to end tonight in our little study here in Hebrews 6:10. I'd like you to turn there if you have a Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. And this is really, I thought so much when I got this scripture from the Lord about Dennis and Wendy, because I knew they were coming tonight. And I want to include this, so of course, because this is written for all of us. And this is what the Lord wants to say to us. So we're going to Hebrews and chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. We just read that scripture, that we're to always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that our work is not in vain. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed to Him toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and you're continuing that, and you do minister, and He will not forget that. And that's all He's looking for. Nothing that I've done will remain, but but only what He's done through me. And when we decide to just go forward in the Lord and accept His anointing, this is what's going on. We are ministering and we are showing love towards His name when we minister to the saints and do minister. So I wanted to bring that to you guys, you know, hey, all these years. Oh yeah, no way is He going to forget all of that beauty and blessing that's come. And I see these people here that know you and have been affected by your lives, as well as myself and my wife. What an example you guys are. So God bless you in your work. And God bless all of you in your work. You know, just keep going in the Lord. We should just keep laboring and just do the next thing and let God do the rest. Isn't He the best? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray together. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for these scriptures, and thank You, Lord, that You use examples concerning marriage all through the Bible. And, Lord, it's always pointing towards the fact that we'll one day be Your bride. And we're just so thankful for that, Jesus. And thank You, Lord God, that You continue to use us according to Your will and Your riches and glory, and provide us with Your riches from glory. So, Lord, continue to lead and guide each one of us, Lord, now. And we give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm sure that Wendy and Dennis will hang out for a while if you've got some questions, and probably they got some really great answers. So feel free to kind of mingle. And thank you for coming that have come to visit your dear one. And so God bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and give you His peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.